Good morning. My name is Mary Bender, and I'm a member of the Board of Trustees, and I serve as Financial Secretary for East Shore. And I'd like to welcome you all to this church this morning. I'd like to also especially welcome any visitors we have this morning and our guest musicians, Sherry Niederkorn on piano and Gail Getz on flute. That's a special thing for us this morning, and I'm glad you're all here to hear it. You know, when I first started coming to East Shore way back in the 70s, the first time I came, it was a similar thing to this with little groups of discussion. And someone came up to me and said, we hope you'll come back because it's not always like this. So I came back and it was another weird kind of service, and somebody came up to me and said, you know, we hope you'll come back because it's not always like this. And after about the third or fourth time, over a period of a couple months, I realized that you just don't know what to expect, so just come. So I do welcome you this morning. I welcome you to a church of reverence, where we stand in awe of the enormous potential of human nature and the wonder of nature all around us. I welcome you to a church of love, where we genuinely care for one another and seek to make this world a better place for all living things. I welcome you to a church of discovery, where we seek our individual spiritual paths and the path to truth, and where we support each other in that search. And I welcome you to a church of connectedness, where we strive to nurture meaningful connections to each other, to the world around us, and to the universe beyond. You are welcome to a church that values reverence, love, discovery, and connectedness.
Before we begin, I'd like to welcome our guest musicians by telling you a little bit about them. Most of you probably already know Sherry Niederkorn. She has been a regular musician here for ever. She has a bachelor's degree in music education from Miami University and a master's degree from Northwestern University. She's taught in Ohio schools for a total of 30 years, and she retired 4 years ago from Willoughby Eastlake. She's a proud member of Notoriety Show Choir of Solon, as well as the Retired Teachers Associations of both Ohio and Lake County. And Gail Getz received degrees from Baldwin-Wallace and the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana. She's taught flute for over 40 years. And she performs weekly at the Metro General Health Centers and is a musician in residence of the Cleveland Clinic. She teaches at the Aurora School of Music and the Laurel School. In 2015, she became an adjunct faculty member at John Carroll University. So thank you both for being here this morning as we worship. And thank you, Ardith, for joining them. It was lovely talking with you. This morning's service, as you can tell, won't look or feel the way it does most Sunday mornings. This morning's worship, we're giving shape to that which has meaning in our lives by sharing our thoughts with one another, because thought, reason, sharing knowledge and experience are some of the things that give our lives the most meaning. When we've done this in the past, we've changed seats between questions, seeking a breadth of opinions and multiple connections. But today, we're seeking depth in conversation, staying together in the same small group throughout the conversation. So I want to invite you to dig deep in your conversation. Go deep while you're in your group, deep into the core of the questions. So this morning, we worship deeply and we worship bravely as we love, revere, discover, and connect. Ricky.
We come bound by the threads of a dream of all walking together side by side, none of us above or below, less or more or forgotten. A dream that more is possible, even more than we have yet imagined. A dream of kindness and connection that softens and turns us toward one another with tenderness. A dream of courage and commitment that will enable us to stay the course and admit where we have gone astray. May this vision comfort and challenge. May it weave us together and never let us go until the dream is made real.
Each month on the first Sunday, we collect food for a local pantry. And on the first Sundays of odd number months, we collect for the Salvation Army of Painesville. So we don't have the children with us this morning to kind of help us in that. But if you have food this morning, please bring it forward, put it in the wagon. And if you don't have food to bring, good old greenbacks are always really good. Actually, money goes a lot further with the pantry than bringing food does. And as we bring this forward, if you're sitting in a group that has more than four people, you might want to have one person go to another group that has less than four. The goal is to have as many sort of complete groups of four as we can, okay? And as people come in, we'll just direct them to this one last circle. So let's gather our food and get in our circle. So there are three Sundays in the church year that you can guarantee attendance is going to be really light, and Labor Day Sunday happens to be one of them. But even though attendance is light this morning, there's a lot going on around here that I want to share, a lot of which is shared in this book. Our choir director, Marge Hill, is recuperating from jaw surgery on Friday, and she reports that it went well. I learned from her husband, Clark, that she was home by 2 in the afternoon. It went that well. The operation turned out to be a lot less serious than was previously thought, and she sends her deepest gratitude for all the kind thoughts and prayers that were sent her way. And I'm sure that Dee Beecham will do just as well on Tuesday when she has her surgery, which is knee replacement, and she expects to be home on Thursday. Now, I keep hearing about what a phenomenal team of friends she has helping her out, and I know she's got a lot of gratitude for that. John Opie and a few members of his family leave on Tuesday for a trip to Moab, Utah. And Barbara will be joining them later in the week. John's been in hospice care for a few months now, and this will be the last trip he takes anywhere. It's a really sacred place for him, Moab. Probably the most sacred place in the world for him. So this is really a big deal. Even though I know that none of us can be with him physically, I hope you'll send him as much good juju as you can. Dick Jackson has spent the week in Geauga Hospital with breathing difficulties. Diana says cards will bring a smile to his face, but please no visitors at the moment. Please keep them both as tightly as you can in their hearts. And I want to remember this morning Senator John McCain, his life and his service to this country. Whether you agree with him or not about his politics, he's been all about service. His life has been called equal parts metaphor and inspiration. In his eulogy of Senator McCain, John Biden said, "John's story is the American story, grounded in respect and decency, basic fairness, and the intolerance of abuse of power. For these and all the joys and cares that remain unspoken, we observe a moment of silent meditation."
So as you may know, this is the last time that we're going to be doing this particular ritual of joys and cares, lighting candles. Next Sunday we start a new ritual. So if this is something that you've loved over the years, I really want to encourage you to come up this morning and light a candle for your own intentions.
Vision of ourselves. We have a vision of Unitarian Universalism as a place that welcomes everyone, even those who walk in a little bit late. Greeting. Thank you for being here. We have a vision of seeing ourselves as seeing the invisible, the poor, the abused, in a world that finds it easier to just walk right past them. We have a vision of ourselves as comforting the afflicted, fighting for justice, and giving voice to those who have been silenced. And you've probably learned something right here in this congregation or out in the world from someone who surprised you, someone who may have been invisible in some way. Someone you may not have thought capable of teaching you. Perhaps it was someone less educated than you, or someone of a completely different socioeconomic status or political party. It was probably a profoundly humbling moment for you to realize that you knew less than you thought you knew. Or something, maybe it was exciting, maybe it was even expanding for you. So the first question that I'd like you to discuss is, who has surprised you by serving as your teacher in a life lesson? Who has surprised you by serving as your teacher in a life lesson? And let's take 10 minutes to talk about this.
Yeah, but I can't see doing a music class.
Do they have music? Josh, what did you do? That'll be for our next discussion.
Okay. Thank you all. So now I've got a second question for you. Hey, Dee. Frederick Douglass once wrote, "Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did and it never will. Find out just what any people will quietly submit to, and you have found out the exact measure of injustice and wrong which will be imposed upon them. And these will continue till they are resisted with either words or with blows, or both. The limits of tyrants are prescribed by the endurance of those whom they oppress." And when we allow bad behavior of bullies to continue to the detriment of the community, we allow the perpetrators to become the tyrants that we submit to. But sometimes in our hope to uphold the worth and dignity of every person, we allow all kinds of atrocious behavior within our community, behaviors that others might not tolerate. Things like a family member's verbal abuse are tolerated as long as it's only verbal and not physical. A fellow congregant is so stuck in an idea that nobody else is buying into that it derails the discussion and momentum just stops. Or someone who has committed a crime so horrible you can't see the humanity in their actions. So the question is this: has the behavior of another person ever put you or your family or an institution you love at risk? And if so, how have you protected yourself and still upheld the dignity of that person? You got it? Anybody need me to ask the question again? Okay. 10 minutes.
Thank you.
Viola Abbott wrote, "We are Unitarian Universalists. When we lift up our seven principles, some of us think of them as a form of theology, but they're more important to our collective than that. They do not tell us what we should believe. They tell us how we should be. They tell us how we should act in the larger world and with each other." She wrote these words as UUs of many races and colors gathered to envision our association as a multicultural one, more representative of the broad diversity of our country as a whole. And she continued, "It has been a long and sometimes unforgiving road to today, but we're here today because we're mindful of that past and because we have hope for the future. We want the practice of this faith to be a fulfilling manifestation of its process, promise. Open your hearts. Seek new ways of understanding." So based on what you've shared so far this morning, how do you think our first principle, our commitment to affirm and promote the worth and dignity of every person, can help us be more inclusive? And I'm looking for tangible ideas here for you to share with each other. Tangible ideas for you personally and for our association. How do you think the first principle can help us be more inclusive? 10 minutes. Okay, folks, I'd like to share this reading for you. It's actually kind of a prayer. It's by Dory Summers. "We, all of us, build houses for our dreams. The masonry and lumber, glass and tiles, a solid form wherein we see our hopes, a shelter and protection for our growth. This house shall be a dwelling place for courage, for integrity, for love, engendered, nourished by a family that speaks of we and means all humankind. These walls shall represent the privacy and dignity of individuals, the open doors, a welcome to all people, all ages, and all generations. The windows shall keep light of injury illuming from outside and within. May all words spoken here be born of love, and energy rekindle in the hearts of those who dreamed this house, who plied the tools, and paid the price to actualize the dream. May dreaming never cease for those within, who know the world to be a troubled place, but dare to struggle with imperfectness toward that brighter hope, that brighter day. Let memories add warmth, a heritage, a quilted patchwork stitched with history of kindliness, of daring for the good, of funny moments, jokes, smiles, and tears. This is a precious place, as every home that shelters those who love and strive and share. Its blessing is in lives that meet within, in living, learning, caring, sheltered here." A short while ago, the UUA did something really visionary. The Board of Trustees committed $5 million to advance Black Lives of UU, whose goals are expanding the power and capacity of Black Unitarian Universalists within our faith, providing support, information, and resources for Black Unitarian Universalists, and furthering justice and liberation throughout our shared faith. And the board's actions were affirmed a few months later at General Assembly, and congregations have been asked to give $10 per person to Black Lives of UU. So this month, to support and encourage the diversity we'd like to see in our denomination, East Shore will give the special collection to Black Lives of UU with a goal of $1,580 for the month. That's $10 per person. Now, I know there are a lot of people who already pledge as much as they can and can't give any more than that. So this month, in addition to giving my pledge check, which is 5% of my gross income, I'm also going to give a check for $10 each week to go to Black Lives of UU. I really want to encourage each of you to do the same. We're going to reach the goal no matter what. I know how, but I want you all to give as much as you can. Like, really show the UUA that even though we don't really have a lot of people of color in our midst, as you can look around and see, we want to make this a reality for our denomination. So this morning's offering will now be accepted, and if you're a visitor for the first time, please let the collection basket pass you as our guest.
As a member of the Board of Trustees, I would like to thank you this morning for your generosity, both financially and with your participation in the activities of this church. I would also like to thank our musicians this morning. To me, the music during the services that we have here is a very important part of the whole feeling that we have while we're here and after we've left. And that was just lovely this morning. Thank you.
Our words of benediction this morning are by Hillary Allen, and they come in the form of a prayer called the To Be Persons of Vision. Gracious One, keep watch on the innovators, the trailblazers, the takers of risk. Invite us to be persons of vision and integrity. Help us to remember the mystery from which possibility is born. Lead us to honor the sacred space where ministries, idealists, and realists meet. Encourage us to imagine more than just what is. Fill our hearts in times of discouragement. Keep our eyes on the long now. Through our efforts, let us know the fruits of connection and a deeper faith.
Before we end, I have a few quick announcements for you. Being a holiday weekend, we have no planned events after worship today, but stick around for coffee. Wednesday evening, we have the first Wednesday night, which will feature a Mediterranean buffet that'll be great for vegans and vegetarians and even the omnivores among us. It's going to be followed by worship and an adult class on George de Benneville. And it's part of a UUA class called What Moves Us, a class on theology and history of Unitarian Universalism. So if you want to have dinner with us, please sign up at the big table in the narthex so we know how much food to make. Next Saturday morning, there's a big all-church cleanup day where we will be focusing on that triangular planting island out on the west side of the building. In the afternoon, there's a choir rehearsal, and in the evening, an orientation dinner for folks in the OWL program. And next Sunday is our homecoming, our annual water communion. So please bring a bit of water from any source. It can be your kitchen tap or the Grand River or, I don't know, the Thames River, if that's all you have. The service will be followed by a board meeting, and then there's our Sisters Keepers after that going on at the same time as that. At last, I want to let you know that out in the narthex, at the beginning of the hall, mounted in between the doors to the community room that has the couches and the big children's sanctuary with the tables where the board meets, there's a big blank wall that's not so blank anymore. We've got posted on there the question that we're focusing on during worship this month, which is, what does it mean to be a people of vision? So I want to invite you to stop by, write a little something, draw, post photographs, post an essay you wrote if that's what you want. Just really unpack this question of what it means for this month to be a people of vision. So I'd like to invite you now to stand, to rise as you're willing and able, and join hands. what would it be like if we made a big circle? Like one big circle, since we're in such a funny arrangement. Can we do that?
Join hands in unitarian